It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running. And there's something strange going on with the audio. Off and running, and I'm all in my left channel and not much in my right. Sorry about that. I don't know what the hell's wrong. This is the horn. Headon.live is where we live. I hate little surprises like that. But, you know, that's what happens when... Well, never mind. It's not worth having the hissy. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we have been thrown into a veritable briar bush, briar patch, as of about 11 o'clock, well, 9:30 really, this morning. Let's see, where to begin? Oh, thank yous. We always begin with thank you here for our... for the folks who subscribe and help keep the program on the air to the tune of about a quarter of the month's fundraising needs. Thanks going out this afternoon, early evening here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone to Grace and Charlene and Stephen. Thank you very kindly. And overnight, thanks for knocking down the fundraising goal with a big old bite out of it to Yuki. Thank you, Yuki, so very, very much. Thank you very much indeed. So that leaves us with a fundraising goal this evening of $408 to get even with the week. And hopefully, maybe we'll knock that out. I'm sorry, the audio is completely screwing with me. I have only one channel of audio, and I don't know why. God bless America. This pisses me off. Can we hold on for just a minute, please? I'll be right back. So anyway, I'm sorry about that, but for some reason or another, we're broadcasting only in mono this evening. And that makes me just absolutely bananas.
But we're working on it. The tech fairy came to see you.
Tech fairy, my left hind foot, Agnes. You know who did this.
I know, but I'm the tech fairy.
No, you're not the tech fairy. Sorry, you don't want to hear me kvetching about tech... Let's see. Select. Yeah, okay. Oh, wait a minute. I know what this is. All better now.
That's all I had to do.
Okay, all better. Thank you for coming back, Agnes. You make everything better, dear.
Thank you. I try.
All better now. So anyway, just to back up before I was having my little mini aneurysm, we got $408 to raise this evening. It could have been $508 except for Yuki. Thank you, Yuki. And thank you again to our subscribers. And a reminder that we have a subscription challenge on the table, thus far unresponded to. We're looking for 5 new $10 a month subscribers. 5. And, you know, to do that, you just either sign up at Patreon and put in $10, or you put it, or you go to the PayPal interface at headon.live and put in $10. And when I see that, when we get 5 of those, then our buddy Tony and Chico, who is one of our longest standing subscribers, will double your first month subscription. Okay? That would be really, really helpful. And it would be great if we didn't leave it. And you know, the offer stands through the end of the month, although we will end fundraising on Tuesday if we can get everything knocked out and out of the way. So there's that. But that's not really what anybody wants to talk about. I think I've been in a bad mood all day long. It started out, when I got up this morning and knew that I was just going to have to deal with a parade of goddamn lies all day long. And that it, and the day proceeded true to form. Agnes had had to go for a CT this morning, so I took, you know, I took my little phone with me, and I tuned in. Oh, what a mistake that was. I tuned in to C-SPAN and caught a little bit of Washington Journal as everybody was waiting breathlessly for Bill Barr to prosecution to come out and lie his ass off to the American people and suffer no consequences whatsoever for it. Because that's what happened. But because, and see, this is why I can't watch Washington Journal. This is why I leave it up to folks like Steve and our buddy Todd. Because, you know, while I can at least watch my filthy morning habit for the entertainment value, I couldn't do Washington Journal every morning of my life. I simply could not. I had it tuned in for about 30 seconds, and they were taking calls, waiting for Bill Barr to prosecution to come to the podium. And that's when I heard, and let's go to the Republican line. Good morning. I just wanted to say that Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and William Brennan and all these others are just a bunch of, all these others who are out to hurt President Trump are just a bunch of evil Jews. Then the moderator said, we'll leave that right there. Which I understand. Yeah, I do. But here's the thing. Oh, by the way, hopefully the clipping is passed now, right, Asa? Yeah, good. Hopefully things have settled down. But here's the thing about that moment, and we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of the whole Mueller. And look, if you want, and tell me, I know this is just, you know, we'll do Friday on the front porch tomorrow, but if you guys want to do a front porch discussion this evening, that's cool too. And I also have another announcement to make, and that is that my good buddy, our good buddy, Mike Malloy, is feeling kind of lousy today. So I'll be filling in for Malloy at 9 p.m. this evening, live on TuneIn, the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn. So we'll truncate this program to, down to about 2 hours this evening. But if within those 2 hours you would like to do a front porch kind of conversation, I'm game for it as long as Sparky is, and we'll see what happens. I just get a sense that, well, a lot of people would like to talk about what happened today, and everybody has a different set of impressions, and I think, you know, by synthesizing all those impressions, we might get closer to a state of what the actual state of affairs is. Thank you very kindly. Darlene in Connecticut says, what a day, what a day, what a day. Yeah, that's right. Darlene says, I'm hearing you loud and clear on HeadOn.live. Thank you. Thank you, Darlene. Okay, I'm not... So, anyway, maybe we'll do a little front porchery this evening. Now, once we got past the President Trump being persecuted by all those evil Jews, let me take a moment with that, okay? Please. And I'm going to require some input from the regular viewers of Washington Journal to know this. If somebody says, I mean, do they have a delay on their mics or on their phone lines? If somebody calls in and says, fuck, does fuck get through? Because I don't watch it enough to know. And I ask this for a reason. If there is a 7-second or 20-second or 40-second delay on their audio for precisely those purposes, then when somebody says, fuck, on Washington Journal, there's a button they push, and it all goes away as if it was never said. And they just keep rolling, and the buffer builds back up, and you never hear the word fuck go out over the air. And that's kind of an important part of this little sidelight analysis. If there's a delay, why do they not punch the delay button? Why do they not punch the dump button when some nasty-ass Trump supporter calls in and says, it's just a bunch of evil Jews? Because, see, I, for one, find speech like that to lack any artistic, political, or social value whatsoever. It is, in my eyes, obscene. As I mentioned a couple of nights ago, Potter Stewart famously said, as of obscenity, I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you when I see it. I know it when I see it. Well, I know it when I hear it. And when I hear some good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual maggot get on the phone on Washington Journal and say, well, that's just a bunch of evil Jews, I know I'm hearing obscenity. And so, if they dump fuck, but they don't dump something like that, the question is, why? Is that some sort of protected speech? I'm not being rhetorical there. Don't know why I bounced out of the... So maybe we can get into that in a little bit. And thank you, Sparky. We will be doing a front porch this evening for anybody who wants to jump into the conversation, talk about this a little bit. And then, like I said, I'll shut things down at about 8 p.m. And we will I'll get everything turned around to fill in for Malloy. In regard to my query, Steve in New York says, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. I suspect it's one of those things that shocks a dumper so much they freeze and don't hit the button. Well, that's possible, except, you know, back in the day when it was only a seven-second delay, you've only got 1,001 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, 3 Mississippi, 4 Mississippi, 5 Mississippi, 6 Mississippi, 7 Mississippi in order to push the button. But with modern technology, you've got all the way up to 40 Mississippi, at which point in time, by which point in time, the shock should have worn off. So, no, Heather in the chat room, no, a Trumpster didn't say fuck. A Trumpster said evil Jews. Which, again, I say is more obscene than the word fuck. So that got things started. I was sitting in the car, and because I didn't figure anybody there in the waiting room for the CT scan wanted to, you know, because it probably would have offended them to find out that the rampant degree of criminality that was attendant upon this this administration. This is, after all, West Virginia. So I sat in the car and watched. And Jesus Christ. William Barr, I suspect, if we knew everything there was to know, would, in the annals of criminal attorneys general, put John Mitchell to shame. Because that performance was one for the ages in terms of it just straight up in your face, you can't touch me criminality. It was a piece of performance art. Until, of course, he decided to have a tantrum and flee the podium. He fled the podium when the question came up, gee, it's Mueller's report. Why isn't Mueller standing here with you? Instead, we learned a lot more about Rod Rosenstein. Remember how we all wrung our hands and said Rod Rosenstein has to be protected because he's protecting Mueller, and Mueller's going to get to the bottom of this because he's a squared-away tough guy. Bullshit. Rod Rosenstein stood right there beside Bill Barr this morning and didn't utter a peep. So Rod Rosenstein was part of the, and because this is, and I don't throw this word around casually, this whole thing is a giant conspiracy. No, not like QAnon. It, by the way, if there's a silver lining to any of today's sad and sordid mess, it is the fact that the QAnon people are having a big sad because they've read the, by the way, there's a redaction. Somebody counted. There's a redaction on roughly one-third of the 385 pages of the Mueller report. That's getting awfully close to what I predicted, that the only thing we'd get to see was I Yearn for You Tragically, A.T. Tapman, Chaplin. So none of the QAnon stuff was in there. Nobody who doesn't spend most of their time living under a bell jar at Ripley's Believe It or Not auditorium thought there would be. But the QAnon freaks, the Daily Beast had the article, were severely bummed Headline, QAnon believers crushed after Mueller report fails to lead to Hillary Clinton's arrest. Liz Crokin, we've heard from her on the program before. Liz Crokin had predicted that the Mueller report would disclose crimes committed by Democrats that are, quoting her,
punishable by death. I think the Mueller report will reveal some indicators that the real crimes that took places were committed by Hillary Clinton, Obama, and some of their associates.
The Daily Beast, for what it's worth, actually interviewed Liz Crokin, because I guess somebody there at the Daily Beast needed a chuckle. I had no idea there was a 24-hour YouTube live stream that was all QAnon all the time. You check back on Thursday. It's going to be a big day. Be here tomorrow. The story unfolds. Q. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One QAnon follower said, Trump is toast. Lied to us to extend his reelection. Good luck, Q peeps. I'm done here. Oh, well. Again. They're not exactly, Well, atne ute ait bre if you one what I in me. And then someone calling himself Seb Gorka tweeted, as of this morning, Q and QAnon are dead. Hashtag leave the cult. So, there's something at least to giggle about a little bit. Right. But yeah, the whole thing is just filthy with redactions. But you can almost read into some of them. And I spent the day, I spent the afternoon reading the damn thing and feeling like I was pretty well confirmed in my initial judgment. It was, in fact, a boat race. The fix was, in fact, in. And as I said on social media, it was a Republican game of three-card Monte in which Mueller marked the cards and Barr dealt them. And Trump is, and the Trumpanzees, the maggots, are laughing their asses off at all of us. Because nobody's going to touch them. Mueller will testify. Although Barr said today, I have no objection to Mueller testifying. By the time May 23rd rolls around, he'll have found himself an objection. This is, the whole thing is a criminal enterprise. And it's a blot on what remains of this attempt at representative self-government. Some of the crazies, they're not slowing down. Because red meat is, after all, red meat. Some of the QAnon creepies are heartbroken, as the Daily Beast noted. But not Josh Bernstein. Oh, hell no. With the release of the Mueller report, Josh Bernstein knows what needs to happen next, at least according to the sad, sick, shrieking, dying neurons inside his cranial vault.
Where was there an obstruction? Well, for instance, the IG reported that Robert Mueller himself wiped Peter Strzok's phone clean of all text messages. Now, I have contacts within the intelligence community. I have contacts within the FBI.
Sure you
and
do.
And some of the people that I have talked to, when they said that those 50,000 text messages were missing, well, they recovered about 85 to 90% of them.
Yeah, he's got connections inside the FBI and the intel community, the same way that Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags spoke to countless, those were her words, countless FBI agents who were demoralized. Of course, that's one of the fun little side notes of the Mueller report, is that when she was interviewed about it by people who had the power to charge her with a fucking felony for lying, well, all of a sudden, she described that as a slip of the tongue. I'm thinking Michelle Fox is, or is it Wolf? Michelle Wolf? Yeah, is due for an apology. Remember when she said at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, maybe it's Maybelline. No, it's lies when talking about... when talking about Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags, yeah. It turns out it was the lies in a big way. Let's travel back to those Halcon days of 2017 when Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags was out there lying to the American people.
Sarah, you said from the podium yesterday that Director Comey had lost the confidence of the rank and file of the FBI. On Capitol Hill today, the acting director of the FBI, Andrew McCabe, directly contradicted that. What led you and the White House to believe that he had lost the confidence of the rank and file of the FBI when the acting director says it's exactly the opposite?
Well, I can speak to my own personal experience. I've heard from countless members of the FBI that are grateful and thankful for the president's decision.
You know what? I guess the number zero is countless. Ordinarily, countless means there are so many of something that it is beyond human ability to count them. But in the case of Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags, evangelical Christian, and therefore liar, countless means she didn't really count anybody because there was no one to count. I guess that's like, you know, her definition.
Well, I can speak to my own personal experience. I've heard from countless members of the FBI that are grateful and thankful for the president's decision. And I think that, we may have to agree to disagree. I'm sure that there are some people that are disappointed, but I've certainly heard from a large number of individuals, and that's just myself. And I don't even know that many people in the FBI.
Just to follow up on the FBI thing, and I'm not trying to be overly combative here, but you said now today, and I think you said again yesterday, that you personally have talked to countless FBI officials, employees, since this happened.
Correct.
I mean, really? Like,
I mean, I
mean, really? I mean, so are we talking
between like email, like, text messages?
Like
absolutely.
50,
yes.
60, 70?
I mean, look, we're not going to get into a numbers game. I mean, I have heard from a large number of individuals that work at the FBI that.
Oops. So it's not that I was trying to provide her a defense there, but no, she just kept it. I mean, we're not going to get into numbers, but I have a large number of emails from the president.
It said that they're very happy with the president's decision. I mean, I don't know what else I could say.
Well, I mean, you could tell us that you, I don't know what else I could tell you. Well, you could tell us you're fucking lying. because you're a fucking liar. And, you know, according to your religion, you're going to hell for that. Oh, wait, you're not, because all you have to do is say, forgive me, Jesus, for lying to the entire American people. Thank you, Jesus, I'm forgiven. Right. Yeah. Yeah, but in the same sense, that's the same sense in which Josh Burke. But here's the funny thing, and this is further evidence of my thesis, and I know some people disagree. Darlene says, I'm still not prepared to put Mueller into the fix mix. Simply not. But Barr definitely is part of the fix. He lied straight to our faces, and Rosenstein is in the fix as well. Although you could clearly see Rosenstein's strained effort at a game face this morning as he stood behind Barr. Rosenstein ain't good at mugging. Also, Barr was pretty irked by a few of the reporters' questions. I think there's some serious professional jealousy coming from Barr towards Mueller. Barr who? Didn't recall who he was until he inserted himself into the investigation. He's old news as far as AGs go, but he got himself back into the picture. Just saying. Back in the game. Everybody wants back in the game. But see, the fact that the Mueller report, they caught. I mean, they confronted her. They sent FBI agents cloaked with the awesome power and majesty of the legal system of the federal criminal code to talk to Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags. And they said, so, time to name names, Sarah. We need to know about these countless FBI agents that you talked to and had emails with and who told you that they were demoralized. And who were they, Sarah? And she said, well, really, nobody. That was a slip of the tongue. Well, if you say something one time and then you get it right the next time and pretty much every time thereafter, okay, that's a slip of the tongue. You just heard the clip. She doubled down. She lied to the American people and then she lied some more about the same topic. In other words, her tongue must have been covered in silicone lube because it was just slipping all over the place. And this is where the lawyers working for Mueller went, okay, sure, you betcha. Slip of the tongue. That's what it was. Slip of the, definitely slip of the tongue. When you or me, citizen, would be under the fucking jail for something like that. We don't get to have slips of the tongue, because we, you and me, citizen, we ain't Republicans, but Mueller's a Republican, and Rosenstein's a Republican, and Barr's a Republican, and that administration is Republican, so it's okay if you're a Republican. I just have this vision of the processional being played, and Mr. and Mrs. Mueller and Mr. and Mrs. Barr walking into the church because they go to church together, and they're such dear, dear, dear friends, and they've been such dear, dear, dear friends for oh so long. And they all know that Jesus is going to forgive them for whatever they may do. And they done did a lot. Steve in New York. We're not going to get into a numbers game, says Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags. Reminds me of that great philosopher Homer Simpson. Facts, schmacks. You can prove anything with facts. Right. Yeah. Brother Deacon Asa says, countless? I think she said, no, I'm not saying that word. She'd been talking to Kellyanne. Uh-uh. Not gonna. Nope. No way. So, I'm happy where I am. I'm not happy, but I am content with my analysis, because you can see it in black and white the part that isn't redacted, Robert Mueller, going in, knew that no matter what he uncovered, he would not charge the president with anything. He would not challenge a piece of DOJ guidance that has never been tested in court and has about as much validity as, well, anybody else's opinion, except for the fact that it applies to people who work in the DOJ until such time as it's challenged. But Bob Mueller was not going to be the man to challenge it. If Bob Mueller, given his mission in this investigation, if he had in fact uncovered the real live, no kidding, PP tape, well, never mind that. There was reference in there to the PP tapes, by the way, which made it look like maybe they're real. Probably are. Just haven't seen them. But there was, if there had been evidence that developed that Donald Trump directly agreed with Vladimir Putin to perform a coup on the United States, Robert Mueller tells us that even if he had found that evidence, he would not have charged the President of the United States. And then there's the issue of Don Jr. and Jared. Mueller told us, and well, let's back up for a minute. Let's have a moment of Latin language.
Oh God, he's going to talk about the fucking Romans again.
No, I'm not. But the fact of the matter is, the legal system that develops as the common law in merry old England derives, it has Latin and Norman French roots. And there is an ancient, I mean, like dinosaurs in the swamps, all, no, okay, not that old. But in one of the most ancient legal maxims goes a little something like this. Ignorantia juris non excusat. Ignorance of the law does not excuse. And what it doesn't excuse is violation of the law. It comes down to, as translated more colloquially, as ignorance of the law is no excuse. Like when the cop pulls you over for doing 70 in a 35 and you go, "Officer, I didn't see that sign that said it was 35. I thought it was 70 through here with all these houses and the children playing out in the yards and so forth." And the cop will look at you and say, "Yeah, we'll sign here. Tell that to the judge, okay?" And so when you go in and you say, "Well, Your Honor, I didn't know it was 35. I didn't see that 35-mile-an-hour sign. I believed in the highest good faith that it was 70 miles an hour." That's when the judge will say, "Well, that's great, but ignorance of the law is no excuse. Here's your fine. Here's your court costs. Talk to the clerk." And I don't care how many people you tell that you didn't know it was 35 and not 70. Nobody's going to pay any attention, and nobody's going to cut you any fucking slack, because ignorance of the law is no excuse. But Bob Mueller turned 1,000 years of jurisprudence on its ear, 180 degrees, and declared that if you are Don Goddamn Jr. Trump, or if you are Jared fucking Kushner, ignorance of the law is an excuse. Everything that they did with regard to the Russians was illegal as fuck,
But because Mueller took a dive, he declared that it wasn't, that they were too stupid to be able to form the necessary intent to break the law. So in the case of Don Jr. and Jared Kushner, according to fucking Mueller, ignorantia juris non excusat, which is a sort of a back reference to Homer Simpson. Homer, are you licking toads? I'm not licking toads. Ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Because Trump, because Republicans, because IOKIYAR, you can bet your happy ass that if anyone with a D after their name were charged in a similar circumstance, baby, Mueller would have come for him with a rope and a will. This is actually, what happened with this report is dirtier than what Barr previously did with the cover-up to protect George H.W. Bush. In fact, I suggested on social media earlier today that we should stop referring to this report as redacted and just instead refer to it as being dummied up. Oh, well, that's just gross, and we're into the and now we're into the gutter. Clarity says, silicone? No. Sarah Hustlebuck Sandbags likes the Kentucky jelly. Mitch always slips that tongue with his state's official spread. Ew. Well, apparently that little image is working for a lot of people, because Brother Deacon Asa says, Jesus Christ! The thought of Jethreen's tongue being covered with silicone lube conjures up an image so nasty I'll need to put a fucking straw in the mellow corn whiskey when I get back home. Thanks, Bob. Sorry, but it's a filthy bit of business and it needs really disgusting allegorical work, an allegorical wrapping that stands the test of time. Well, there was nothing about the PP tape being released, just references to the PP tapes. James in Illinois says, you the guinea pig? You going to watch the PP tape for the rest of us? I hate to say it, but I'm almost happy if it doesn't come out. But anyway, just for a second here, back to Josh Bernstein. Because this guy, somehow or another, keeps making videos, keeps calling for violence, and keeps getting away with it. Again, IOKIYAR.
There's still between 1,800 and 3,600 that have never been recovered. Now, what I have been told by my sources, again, close to the FBI and inside the FBI, that those missing text messages may have had credible evidence of an assassination attempt on the President of the United States.
May have. It's kind of like we were talking the other night about the difference between may, which is permissive, and shall, which is imperative. Yeah, may have. They may have also had references in them to the night that the aliens landed and brought Donald Trump Frisbees and wheat checks, but, well, they're missing.
So, I don't know where those text messages are. I hope that at some point we can figure out where they are, because clearly from what I've been told, there's been an assassination attempt and they talked about it in the text messages.
Yeah, no, they didn't. But, you know, it apparently is good for business for Josh Bernstein to say that kind of shit, so whatever. And then Mark Taylor, we heard from him last night. And in speaking with Christopher Old McDonald, who apparently always wears something black so that he looks like he's just a big giant head floating in space on a road in the desert, it weird. I don't know. Well, they've got plans for people who oppose Donald Trump.
God is going to serve justice. Justice is coming. Barr just put out today, I think it was a warning shot across Obama. We can move into that now.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Barr put that out today where he was fired a shot across Obama's bow. It's coming, folks. I have said it on openly before. I will say it again. I believe that Obama will be seen on national television giving an account of what he's did, what he's done. But I believe also he will be seen spitting and sputtering. He will not be able to even complete a sentence. And people will look upon him and they will say, this is the guy who actually almost took down America. This is the guy that almost took down the entire globe. It's almost like that when the Lord talks about when we see Satan, we will say the same thing about him. This is the guy that almost took us down.
Now, I don't work with the big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. How come it is I'm better at predicting shit than this guy is? I don't know. I really don't. But you'll notice, again, they're talking, and, you know, these are QAnon creeps. And lo and behold, well, what the corner he's been working lately is that it's time for Donald Trump to start executing people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So this is what I believe is coming. And so people don't believe he's going to be arrested. He will be arrested. Justice will be served, period. Hillary Clinton will be arrested. All these people, it's coming. I think there's going to come a time when some of these people are just going to disappear. We're not going to hear anything. And we may never know the truth. But the bottom line is that they're just going to disappear. Some may die, come down with some funky disease, or have an accident, whatever the case may be.
Funky disease? Now, wasn't that an early Brothers Johnson album? Maybe it was Parliament. Funky disease.
And we may never know the full truth on a lot of these people. Yeah. And but most of them will be in Gitmo. But people better get ready for this, Chris. If you don't have a stomach for justice, you better get one quick.
You better get one quick, Mark.
Because there's going to be people in prison for life. You will see suicides to keep their...
Not among the Republicans, you're not, because nobody's going to get charged that hasn't already been charged.
A reputation, and there will be people executed.
Right.
And now some of these people, again, we may never know they've been executed. They just may come down with a disease and all of a sudden they're gone very quietly and just disappear.
Now that is a back reference to John McCain, because these assholes were running around saying that John McCain was secretly executed, that he didn't really die of brain cancer up in his 80s. That's what you're dealing with here.
So, I mean, again, you better get a stomach for justice, because justice is here. Just truly stop these treasonous acts. It's going to take executing some of these people. And by gosh, they'll think twice before committing treason again. This is why Donald Trump was put there to begin with, was to issue justice.
Absolutely, brother.
Let me put this warning out to you evangelical leaders out there. You stand in the way of this, God will deal with you on your own. Because you don't have the mind of God. You don't have God's interest at heart.
Yeah. Not enough Thorazine in the world to deal with this level of vicious psychopathy. But there it is, and there we are. And that's another thing. If I'm going to put anything in the cut Bob Mueller some slack column, it'll be this. I suspect he's smart enough to know that if he had developed evidence, and he kind of alludes to the fact that he did, that the president was engaged in criminal conduct, to at least 33% of the people of the United States, it would not have fucking mattered. Don't think for a minute that the people who are at the upper echelons don't know who and what the maggots are. Now, there are some true believer maggots in the Congress. But most of them are just afraid of the electoral power that he wields, the hold that he has over people of very, very, very small brain. Yeah. By the way, back when Josh Bernstein was talking about his friends close to the FBI, people close to the FBI, says Steve, there's a friend of his standing outside next to the Hoover building in Washington, channeling the voices with his tinfoil hat that come through his dental work. That makes as much sense as anything, Steve. Well played. Well played. Pollen. There may be a few of those. So, that we haven't really gotten into the meat of things, but we will. And if you want to share your ideas, by all means, jump right in and use the Skype link that is over at headon.live and jump into this sort of special get it off your chest Thursday, Thorn in the Front Porch Thursday. We'll do a full Thorn in the Side or a full Friday on the Front Porch tomorrow. But given the import of this issue, I think it's warranted this evening as well. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
Hey, Lab, how you doing?
You know, it's been a day.
You know what Lawrence O'Donnell said last night?
What?
He brought up the old Churchill line. It's the end of the beginning.
Yeah. It's not the beginning of the end, but I can tell you that it's the end of the beginning.
Yeah. That's how I feel about the whole thing. And why you bring up those nutballs, I'll never know.
Because there's value in understanding the degree to which these people are a part of what's wrong with America. I mean, they're not just out there howling into the darkness. There are 33% of America nods its little heads with those nutballs.
What dimension do they live in, anyway?
Well, they live in a dimension, Sparky, where A, the check clears.
I get it now.
Because all of these freaks have YouTube channels, and they've got substantial audiences. Remember, we live in a world now, and it's foreign and alien to me, and probably to you as well. We live in a world now where people get on a social media platform and make money by letting other people watch them play video games. Did you know that?
Yeah, I've heard that from Travis, you know, John's son.
Yeah.
He was into that shit. He knows about that's what. He was the one that got his dad going on the YouTube channel. He's, you know, people make money off this shit, and then they started up and everything, and then they found out their YouTube check got cut a month or two ago.
Yeah.
But he still got a lot of followers. I mean, his show. Live show, I mean, you get about, 20 people that want to get in and talk.
Oh, it was, it amazed me while I was in D.C. Just to see when I did the Facebook video experiment.
Yeah.
It was astonishing to me how many views I'd get out of it. For some reason or another, I don't get video. I'm a radio guy. But so we will eventually be moving into some sort of a video feed. Just need to do a little spring cleaning here in the studio.
Yeah, you got to get a couple good cameras.
But mainly it's such a tiny space. It's hard to make it camera friendly. That space I was in D.C. was perfect. You know, bookshelves across the wall and a couch in the background and. Yeah, that worked out very nicely. Even my buddy Dan.
What do you think of John's videos now?
Oh, he's got a great set.
Two camera view. He can.
Yeah.
bring Travis in there now too. He's sitting off to the side.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
No, I did. I did. And no, it looks great. I've just,
but he's, the only problem he has is his damn internet connection sucks.
Well, he and I share that.
Because the wind blew the other night, kind of.
Yeah.
Screwed his show up.
Yeah, people. Nice... Yeah, people have. I said, you know, come on, Bob, your internet can't be that bad. Yes, it can be. And so, you know, I know John knows.
Well, you got a landline. John's got a 30-foot pole with an antenna on it.
Yeah. Which, again, I got a landline, and when the wind blows, I lose internet. Yeah. What does that tell you?
Mm-hmm. Well, it tells me your poles are ancient.
Well, and in my case, I may as well go ahead and issue the warning now. We're looking at thunderstorms all the way through airtime tomorrow. So, and it's not so much internet as it is electricity. For all I know, we won't. Who knows when we're going to lose power? Because this is some hellbender storm system that's been looping through the southeast and is going to lambast us tomorrow.
Well, just like I told you, lightning just loves transformers and power lines.
Oh, I have no doubt whatsoever.
And trees.
It was kind of weird. What day was it? I think it was. Was it Sunday? When, or maybe Saturday? Everything in Fayetteville lost power. Because a transformer went down. Down the road into the New River Gorge, and everything from that side of the New River Gorge Bridge almost to Beckley was out of power. It was weird.
Well, thank goodness we're finally into our good wet spring weather now. First 80-plus degree day.
Well, we're into. I mean, it's nice. It was a beautiful day today. And like I said, it's 84 balmy degrees here in the studio, because that's the other thing. There's a lot of glass here, and it's south-facing, so it warms up in a hurry in warm weather. It doesn't warm up so good in the winter.
Yeah, well, I got both doors open on the man cave, and it's 86 in here, and I got the fan going across the room here. I mean, the man cave warms up. It's all metal building, so it warms up pretty fast when it's warm.
Well, Bob, at least Frontier is still a viable company, correct?
Last I checked.
Windstream went belly up.
Did they really?
Yep. Yeah, they did Chapter 11 about 3 weeks ago. So
are you communicating by standing out on the stoop and screaming this evening? I mean, you're coming in really good, Steve.
Well, they promised it's not going to affect service. They're just doing a reorganization, which who knows, man. But if I'm not here for a few weeks, that's what happened.
Hey, Steve, yeah. Fess up. You're actually on the holler on the other side of where Bob lives. That's how we can hear you so well.
Yeah, I'm hollering through a seashell on a rope, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. Hey, I got an email in from Lady B. She says, Bob, these guys are talking about the nutcases that Sparky referenced in the audio that I played. These guys are inciting people to violence. Why isn't this being policed? Why are they allowed to say it? Is it because they're white? It's a big part of it. I know you play clips of that black preacher, too, who says stupid shit, but he ain't fooling us black folks. He gets paid to say that shit. But these other motherfuckers, they believe it. Up is down, black is white. This is the new normal. It is. And there's Jesse Lee Peterson and E.W. Jackson, who spends an inordinate amount of time thinking about big strapping men. But let's not go there. Your point's well taken, Lady B. And that's why that's one of the things I keep asking. You know, this guy, that Josh Bernstein freak, actually suggested that people should be ready to take a pot shot at the cops. And he doesn't get a visit from the people in the black suits with the skinny ties that talk to their no. And then there's Ron and Raleigh who said, "Excuse me, what in the everlasting fuck are these clowns talking about? Obama almost brought down the world, so W had nothing to do with the financial collapse. You'll never mention this bullshit again when it does not come to fruition." Oh no, you just go on to the next hustle.
And Trump's got the beneficiary of Obama's economy.
Precisely. And well, but that's
he's done
the
his
thing.
Best to ruin it, though, actually, with his trade policy and you know, various other policies that have actually hurt growth.
But for those, go ahead, Sparky.
I said Monday. I got some good news. Monday, my taxes were cut in half from what I usually pay. My income's static; it doesn't change, except for Social Security cost of living increase, and maybe my stocks went up in value a little bit. My pitiful little AT&T dividend that I get every 3 months. I paid half of the taxes that I paid last year. Because they raised the standard deduction. I don't know if anybody noticed that.
$24,000. They did, but they eliminated a lot of your write-offs. So,
well, I didn't have no write-offs.
Right. So somebody in your boat made out pretty good, and Karen and I did pretty good too. So but it just depends. A lot of people got hurt really bad.
Well, and in particular, people who pay are in high property tax areas, and that was by design. That was to punish them for not being maggots. Were you watching Washington Journal this morning, Steve? Did you?
No, Bob. I've missed it the last few days. I've slept through it. I guess the sleep gods are taking mercy on me because I haven't caught it in probably a week or two, but I could imagine it was pretty crazy this morning.
Steve. You're slipping. Yeah. Disappointed.
Well, I didn't sleep like shit last night. I woke up before 6:30 this morning. I had to looked on the computer, brought up MSNBC, and there's Brian Williams, and I go, he was just on at 11 o'clock last night. Man, does the guy ever sleep? Do they give him a break? He does all the breaking news shit.
Hours. That's part of his punishment. He's still on the shit list, and he gets the shit details.
Got to make atonement.
But I saw him, and I just clicked away. That's how I wound up on C-SPAN. I got there just in time to hear. I just want people to know that this Brennan and this Schiff and this Nadler and
all of them.
Bunch of evil Jews. I mean, but you know, so Steve, have you ever heard him use somebody using the F word? So they can do Bob, that, right?
This is the deal, as far as I know it. They used to not have a dump button or a 7-second delay. I think things got so raw that they finally had to incorporate one within the last 2 or 3 years. So you shouldn't hear any more curse words on there, even though they do slip through.
Right. So my point is made then. They will dump on the word fuck, but they will not dump evil Jews.
Somebody's
I think they need to have an editorial meeting over that.
Oh, yeah. They need to have a powwow with the moderators and say, look, you know, this is what's acceptable and this is what is not.
Yeah. It was a line on MSNBC. It just said shit, and they bleeped out the last two letters.
But I don't know. Is anybody else like me and wondering, are we ever going to get a ticket off this insane merry-go-round? Every time I think I see a way out, I get sand kicked in my proverbial face again. And here we are, and nothing ever changes. Right back with this asshole celebrating no collusion.
Well, I mean, Steve, our remedy is that the ballot box in 2020.
Yeah, that's it.
That's our remedy.
That's the only remedy.
Democrats got to make him look so damn bad in the next.
Yep.
Mueller, he's unelectable.
Mueller's not going to save
us. Dirty him up as much as possible. Make him look like the crook that he is. That's the way to do it.
In fact, you almost get the feeling that Mueller was in on this game, you know?
I think Mueller left a path for Congress.
He's basically thrown the gauntlet down. It's like
Congress, he threw it to
Congress.
Yeah,
Yeah. And Bob has always said, don't trust him. He's a Republican. You know, they stick together like thieves, man.
And the thing is, it's a hollow thing. Hey, John Bridavo, thanks for popping
in. How you
man.
Doing,
hey,
Bob?
Hey, Uncle John.
How y'all doing? Here's the trick. He may have left a breadcrumb trail for Congress, but he also did this. It's the same trick that Republicans on the Supreme Court do. They'll say, well, you know, that's not our job. That's for Congress to take care of. Knowing full well that the Congress isn't going to do dick.
Well, we have to force them to do dick and lots of dick. That's exactly what we need to do.
And he could have strongly recommended, look, I recommend Congress take this up. What he's doing borderlines on illegal. I can't make a decision on that because blah, 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 blah.
Jesus, Hamlet was more decisive than Mueller was in this thing.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was just horrible. And I just, you know, I'm tired of being scrambled. I'm tired of it, and I guess it's like everybody else is saying, we just got to make a stand at 2020, and that's our only ticket out of this. We're almost there. So.
Well, and see, that's
more months away from this.
Yeah.
That's the philosophical debate here. Once you've leapfrogged past the idea. And I get all hung up on this, and I fault Mueller for this, okay? This notion that the president is above the law and cannot be charged with a crime is antithetical to every last iota of our constitutional system of governance.
That is right. But in the Mueller report, that one sentence or that one little paragraph, he says, the conclusion that Congress may apply the obstruction laws to the president's corrupt exercise of the powers of the office accords with one constitutional system of checks and balances and the principle that no person is above the law. He's telling Congress, it's up to your ass to do this shit.
But the problem, John,
we can't indict a fucking president. Bullshit.
Yeah, the problem is that Congress is not the law enforcement body of the United States. They are the lawmaking body.
But we are the co-equal branch of government. All right, we already know Barr ain't going to do shit, and it seems like the Donnie has just about taken over every freaking institution we have. The only outlet we have is Congress. Congress needs to take up this gauntlet and investigate the shit out of it. Now, I'm getting tired of this. Whatever his name is? Steny Hoyer?
Well, Steny Hoyer. I've got the story right in front of me. He said, based on what we've seen to date, going forward on impeachment is not worthwhile at this point. Very frankly, there's an election in 18 months, and the American people will make a judgment. Well,
yeah, I'm 33, worried about that, Bart,
John, we 33% of the 33% of the American people eat lead paint chips because they want to.
Yeah, I'm not going to roll over for that 33%. Fuck them. They wouldn't do it to us. Did you see that little thing that they've been running on the internet there with the little collage of Fox News talking about all sorts of shit Obama does? Did have you seen that?
Oh yeah,
it's outstanding. That's the same thing. I mean, that's what they would be doing if the shoe was on the other foot. They would be screaming everything. That's what we got to do, baby, because I want to force every one of the freaking Republican senators up there in the Senate to defend his ass over all of this shit. And there's plenty of shit. All that shit that's redacted, most of it is because of ongoing investigations. What do you think all that shit is? You know. There's a whole lot more to see, baby.
Well,
I'm ready to burn him at the stake myself.
But, you know, prosecutors, their Ken Starr, you know, or whoever their version of who prosecuted Nixon, they wouldn't be all mealy-mouthed about it. They would have come out and said, look,
that's right.
You got to take this motherfucker down. He has blatantly broken the law. Instead of just tiptoeing. And instead of Mueller just tiptoeing around it, you know, bread comes my ass. Jesus.
Well, there's a couple of things. One, like I said, there are a couple of places in the Mueller report where hundreds of years of jurisprudence just gets out the window. One of them is the idea that you can be too stupid to be charged with a crime.
Well, that's what they're relying on him. What is that?
That's for Don Jr. and Jerry.
Yeah.
But then there's the statement where Mueller says, Well, you know, any obstruction activities were committed in plain sight, so I didn't think it was my job to prosecute that.
Yeah.
So let's understand what that statement means. He committed the crime, and everybody saw him do it, so we can't prosecute that.
He did it in plain sight.
Well, let me ask you this. What happens when a bank robber robs a bank in front of like 20 bank customers? By that logic, you can't charge
The bank robber.
Because he did it in plain view.
Everybody's seen him do it.
What the fuck is that?
It's the same shit.
It's corruption.
Mm-hmm.
It's corruption.
And that's why
Barr
is in there.
Well,
and
Mueller, but Barr didn't make Mueller write that, John.
No, it's
hard. I know we've got a lot of people who are deeply invested.
I am searching through this shit to find out to understand his Mueller's intention here. His language, it sounds to me like just what it says. No, you can't exclude him from this shit. There's a lot of this shit that.
But his intention was not. That's why I keep saying Mueller took a dive. He knew from the minute he started that, and he says as much, that he wasn't, it didn't matter what he caught Trump doing, he was not going to charge him with a crime.
Because a sitting president cannot be indicted.
Right, and that,
with that
we've had this
right
argument
there.
For like 2 yeah. years.
That's got to be.
That's not a law.
It's got to be forced.
That's got to be settled. That's got to be settled in court at some point.
That's right.
But you know when, you know when we'll settle that in court?
After long,
when there's a Democratic president,
president, cowbell for Rick.
Yeah.
Yep.
When's the dam going to break? When are we going to see the full Mueller report? Is that ever going to be released?
Well, I mean, did you hear how shitty Mueller was about it? It's my report. I don't even have to show it to Congress. Fuckers.
That bullshit's got to stop.
You're kidding.
Yeah, he said that today.
Mueller didn't say that. That other
GK. No, Barr did. Barr did.
Yeah. I was going to say Mueller said that. No.
At this point, Barr and Mueller are the same person to me.
Right, they're wearing
doing the same job.
But the question was asked: why wasn't Mueller at that press conference with Barr? And Barr couldn't answer that effectively. You know, where was Mueller when Barr released it this morning? He wasn't around.
Well, where the fuck is Mueller? Somebody needs to.
He'll be in Congress.
Nadler, somebody needs to just pin his ass down.
They're on that shit.
And find out what the
they're
going to
subpoena him. They're going to either arrange for an
appearance. By the time this all rolls out, it's going to be 2020.
There you go. Right there, Steve. What you just said.
Emotions
it's
right
along
now.
With everything else, the immigration, the wall, all this other bullshit that he's got going on. It's just delay, install until this fucking shit goes into 2020.
And it's so it's also calculated.
Just waiting to get off the bus so he can write a book.
Yeah,
but this is going to affect Trump's campaign. Trump doesn't have a campaign. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I've got a note here from Darlene in Connecticut. But what do we do, Bob? I totally agree. Why is it that only Republicans can investigate Republican presidents and only Republicans can investigate Democratic presidents? It's wrong. But what do we do? Bureaucrats involved with the DOJ and FBI are Republicans. How do we address this? Does Congress legislate that in? In other words, can we push a supermajority Democratic Congress to legislate that they must alternate parties or try to find a special or independent counsel who is unaffiliated? Can it be addressed legislatively? P.S. I totally agree. How come ignorance of the law is suddenly an excuse? That bothers me a lot, and I'm not seeing where willing intention had to be the standard for indictment in Mueller's written directive from Rosenstein. But we don't know what they discussed in private, what was off the record, so to speak, between Rosenstein and Mueller. I think Rosenstein was the problematic nexus. For example, if we take his letter that Trump first cited as the reason for firing Comey, in which it was widely reported that Rosenstein was upset that Trump said he used his letter as the justification, and then we juxtapose that to what Trump said in the interview shortly after to Lester Holt, i.e. that it was because of the Russian thing that he fired Comey, well, which is it? Based on the news reports that Rosenstein refused to put the Russia thing into his letter at Trump's request, then wouldn't that make Rosenstein a key witness here? If he confirmed what Trump requested of him for the letter, then this would clearly put more weight in favor of Trump's intent being obstruction of the Russian investigation, not how Comey handled protocol concerning Hillary's email debacle. So what's Mueller to do? Essentially drag Rosenstein, his boss, into the investigation to determine if Rosenstein in fact refused Trump on the Russia thing? Rosenstein's not going to allow himself to be dragged into the investigation. Rosenstein was the problem from the get-go, and he and Trump would have claimed executive privilege anyway. All of that, I think, is true. But yeah, but I can't get past the fact that Mueller says going into the thing that whatever he finds, he's not going to do anything about it. And why bother?
This is the problem.
If I could just say this here,
the structure of, Mueller is under the aegis of the Department of Justice as special counsel. He's not like an independent prosecutor like Ken Starr is.
Absolutely.
If he had the independence of like a Ken Starr, he could have said, well, fuck the, Office of Legal Counsel guidance that you can't indict a sitting president. I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway and test the law. Mueller reports directly to DOJ, to the Attorney General. So, he didn't have really the ability to countermand the Office of Legal Counsel guidance. That's considered mandatory for DOJ employees to follow. So he could have, that would be like a fireable offense potentially to go against that kind of guidance.
But if you're a patriot.
Oh, I know, Bob. It's. I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. The whole thing stinks. Okay. The whole thing stinks. But that was that's the way Mueller looks at it from his perspective.
Oh, I understand. And see, let's take a little walk down history's memory lane real quick. After the great Cleanus hunt, which was done under the independent counsel statute, which for some reason or another had a sunset clause in it. After that, well, along comes Bush, W.
Right.
And he's got a pet Republican Congress to deal with.
Right.
And guess what? The independent counsel statute sunsets. And having just watched how an independent counsel can work, the Republicans said, "Oh Jesus Christ! If we reauthorize this, W could be in a world of shit just because he's so fucking stupid." So that's why they let it lapse.
Right.
And so we're left now with this sort of ad hoc approach, whereby Mueller is indeed, just another DOJ employee, I guess, just like anybody who, is down in the stenography pool.
Oh, he's just an umpire. He's just calling it how he sees it. Well, let me tee up a subject for tomorrow night's sports. What the fuck do we do now?
We can talk about it now, Steve.
Before we go into that, let me thank you, Steve. Because you got us going this evening. We're into the second hour of a 2-hour broadcast this evening, and you just got us down below $400. We got $398, and that would bring us even for the week thus far, and that would be and so if anybody would like to jump in alongside Steve, they are mighty welcome to do so. But, Steve, you're asking...
I appreciate the wall, Bob, because all this shit lays on my head, and I toss and turn. At least I can get it off my chest a little bit,
And that's the benefit of the Horn Network and Bob's show.
And I value what you do, my friend. But that's my subject I wanted to tee up for tomorrow. Now what the fuck do we do? Do we have Gerald Nadler just go at him with guns blazing? You know that's going to cause a backlash effect. I mean, that would be the right thing to do.
Well, I mean, what do you mean? I mean,
you risk four more years of Trump,
I don't think that Gerald Nadler or Elijah Cummings or any of these people who they all know why the gavel was given to them, and it's not ceremonial, and so they go and they do their work, whether it leads to impeachment or not. Really doesn't matter. Well, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter because it does matter. And again, I'll go so far as to, because Steve, you're asking the same question Darlene was asking, and you know, the bottom line there is that I'm convinced of this. The folks with the powdered wigs and the velvet knee breeches would have had the tar and the feathers and the rail ready
by the
time that Bill Barr got done and ran away from the podium today. And he did. He ran away from the podium. There's no doubt. He went, fuck you, and left.
Get out of here.
Leave the interview.
And she's right.
Leave the interview.
Left in a huff.
We need that.
Or a huff and a half.
I've held back on that because I've, you know, basically a lot, because I learned a lot from you, Bob. Impeachment, it is a political tool. It's not going to remove him. That only comes in the Senate. But now I'm convinced, when are we fucking supposed to wait till? What, right before the fucking election and start making this a campaign issue? Shit, no, I want to start dragging his fucking dirty laundry out right now. And through the impeachment.
Well, the weather's the weather's getting better. I want to see people in the streets.
Fuck them.
Well, I want to see
people.
That's
what they'd say to you.
I want to see people out in the streets. I remember
that's
the Nixon
exactly
year.
What I. And I said it on my show the other day. We do not need to go march on the White House because that guy gets a hard on looking out at all the people because they're about him. No, we need to march on Congress, on those Republican senators up there that are holding back and still protecting this asshole.
Yeah, and you all have, everybody has one in their hometown. They all come home.
Right here.
Go out there and pay them a visit, you know.
Republicans don't do town halls anymore. Didn't you learn that?
They're afraid to. Duncan, you can go to their office and beat on the door. You're welcome to do that as a constituent. Not saying there'd be there, they'll answer, but you're welcome to give it a try.
With my congressman,
we don't want to go into impeachment because, oh, we don't want to piss them off. I want to piss them off real bad when they start when we start dragging his dirty laundry out. Most of those
were
ongoing investigations. So let's drag them investigations out in the sunshine.
Yeah, who hey Bobbed me?
Hey Bob, it's your friend Scott in San Diego.
Jesus. Christ.
It's Mr. Hanky.
Yeah.
Tired of calling in.
Can I propose a motion to the group? I propose that we institute a brand new rule number one. Uh-oh. All in favor? I got to tell you what the rule is.
Yeah, it'll help.
I'm forgetting my robot's rules of order. The
Robert's rules of order.
No, in this day and age, baby, it's robots. We're not programmed to do anything useful. We are programmed only to follow orders. We are programmed to read the report and to like the report. Jesus, H. Christ on a cross.
I had a gavel once as a union president, so I know about Robert's rules of order.
I bet you did. I used to go to the CWA meetings in D.C. back when I worked for the phone company. Those were a hoot and a half. Man, I remember the days.
But rule one.
Rule number one is I believe, was it Mark Twain who said, there's no value to a man to a second kick in the head by a mule.
I know Mitch McConnell's been saying that. He said that when Trump said he wanted him to take health care up again. And Chinless Mitch said there's no learning in a second kick of a mule.
Yeah. Did he say anything today, by the way? Some people on MSNBC said he was going to say something.
He did, huh?
Mitch McConnell yesterday announced his candidacy again for Senator of Kentucky.
And he did it with a fundraising email bragging about keeping Merrick Garland off the court.
Ain't that some shit? Tells you right there.
And also rescinding regulations. And also regulations have been rescinded, especially through EPA, which is totally crazy.
To rule number one.
Easy. One at a time, guys. Sparky?
Rule number one. I never did tell you what it was.
Okay.
Don't let our future be determined by anything that requires the participation or cooperation of Republicans.
Or keep clear of the ugly sheet.
Well, yeah, that's sort of a subparagraph. But I think we have seen where trusting that a Republican is going to help. See, in this regard, Reagan was right, but only about the Republicans. When you hear the Republicans say, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you, run. Do not walk to the nearest exit, okay? We've seen where this takes us.
Right.
I would advocate, as much as I would love to see this guy impeached and convicted, that process will require participation and assistance from the grand old party, so-called. And I just don't see them jumping on board.
Well, the impeachment... Well, hold on, Scott. The impeachment part doesn't.
Well, no, the impeachment part doesn't, but the conviction part does. I'm talking about the grand process.
See, let me get out my...
They can brand him just like they branded Clinton with impeachment.
Yeah. Let me get out my velvet knee breeches and my powdered wig real quick. And let me suggest that people go and actually read the Federalist Papers and the stuff that surrounds them. And what you'll find there, as noted, as Dr. Bill taught me, is that the early visions of the Congress were such that the president could be impeached on a whim. Okay? It could very well have been...
I got a whim.
We could very well have a Congress that, instead of opening every session with a prayer, would open... And I apply this to Democrat and Republican alike, okay? Because the legislative branch is supposed to keep a close hand on the executive, lest he become monarchical. Okay, the history of all that is very real. And so, instead of having a prayer to begin every session, could begin with the question: shall we impeach the president today?
Yeah, we could have the
works for me, Bob.
And now, not the chaplain. Now the whimster will address the body with the morning whim.
But
I thought you were referring to McConnell.
I mean to be taken seriously on this point.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm saying is, why don't we, when you get to, as Yogi Berra used to say, when you get to the fork in the road, take it. Okay? We're at the fork in the road. Do we go this way and do impeachment and hope for conviction? Or do we do something that we have a track record of having done successfully before? And that would be, go ahead and let the Democrats in Congress do their work. It will be a refreshing change of pace to see a House of Representatives actually doing its work. Gather up all the dirt and facts and figures and stuff that we can. But
are going to be must-see TV.
I know. But our main effort be doing something that we have seen successfully work in the past, and that is muster the electorate to an unmistakable point so that he does not get a second term. You get the same net effect. Maybe it's not as satisfying as impeachment and conviction, but at least he's voted out.
Okay, but wait.
There's more.
There's a couple of things here, because I try really hard not to just... Well, I try to look for seams in the turf, if you will. If you've ever watched a football game on artificial surface, and some guy will be boogieing down the middle of the field with the ball under his arm, and then he'll just fall over, and the guy will, and the commentator will say, "Well, obviously he hooked his toe in a seam in the turf." I look for those seams in the turf, and you know, Donnie Dipshit went to Twitter to holler, "Game over," you know, again with the Game of Thrones imagery that HBO keeps telling him not to use. And fuck it, I can break the law. Bob Mueller just told me so.
Don't tell me what I can't do.
But So
you brought up sports.
Well, time out. I'm not done.
Okay.
So what's interesting is that Mueller was not equivocate. He didn't equivocate on the fact that the Russians really did mount a serious campaign to affect the outcome of the election. All right? Trump's not talking about that because it's not even, it's beyond question. It's undeniably true. And so, Scott, if you're gonna say, well, you know, come 2020, we'll let the electoral process work its way out, and that's the same thing Steny Hoyer has said. There's only one problem with that. The Russians are still going to be doing it.
That's right.
And Facebook is still Facebook is still dirty as fuck.
And we haven't done shit to
stop them. Right. But Sparky, what about sports?
I want to know who your new football coach is, and when are you going to start bad-mouthing
him? Well, I got nothing to bad-mouth him over.
You like him?
I don't hate him. He hasn't played a game. He hasn't coached a game yet.
But you know him?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he good, bad, indifferent?
He's had a heck of a career down at Troy in Alabama. Went out and handed Nebraska their ass. Took a program that was brand new to Division I and made it respectable in almost no time flat with next to no budget. So I think he was a solid choice.
Good. That's just been eating up my brain since I heard about him. Your old buddy going to the University of Houston.
My old buddy. Oh, they're welcome to him. They really are. Maybe the University of Houston plays in a league where nobody plays defense. That'll be great for the Holgorsen because, you know, Dana Holgorsen likes to win games 73-72. So,
okay, now we get back to what we were talking about.
All right, all right.
Let me just put a cap on where I was.
Wait, well, I heard Tracy. I just heard Tracy's voice. Tracy hasn't spoken. Go, Tracy.
No, I'm just wondering. I'm listening to you guys, and I'm trying not to lose what's left in my mind, but this is some troubling shit. And I, you know, like you said just a little while ago about waiting for 2020, we can't. Mm-mm. Because I'm speaking as a mother of a black son and a sister of black men and, you know, aunties of black men. We can't wait. I'm living in a country where there's open season on my people. And open season on Democrats, open season on gay people, open season on black people. And the people, the regime that is in charge does not give a fuck. And they are, you know, promoting violence against people who look like me. I don't know about 2020 because I don't even know if we're going to be around until 2020, to tell you the truth, at the rate we are going. This is, and I'm not a doomsayer and all that sort of stuff, but this is some bleak ass shit. That we are now living in a country where this man just said that, well, they're either too stupid or what was it? They were frustrated into breaking the law. What the entire fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
So that means that when, so does that give people license that when, you know, I accidentally cut somebody off or my son cut somebody off, they were frustrated into shooting me or him or they were frustrated into, you know, burning down another black church because, you know, they're just frustrated into breaking the law? What can of worms or what Pandora box are we fucking opening? Well, not us.
Yeah. Who got empowered today? Because Democrats, liberals, progressives were not empowered by this report. But the people who would like to commit crimes on Trump's behalf damn sure were.
Yes, they were. Because they could, you know, forget that economic anxiety. Now we got, you know, frustrated into. So now what? What's next? Yep.
Well, believe it or not, Tracy, I'm advocating for what you're saying. I totally get where you're coming from. I don't get it as well as you get it, but I get it. All I'm saying is, if we're in that dire straits, that set of dire straits, what choice will we make? In the whole history of this country, there has never been a time when a sitting president has been impeached and convicted and moved out of office. There's never been that instance. We do have instances, though, where corrupt presidents and administrations have been voted out. That's all I'm saying. And in the meantime, do the best we can. Democratic Congress, do its thing and find out what needs to be found out, because those things can be used in a campaign in 2020 to say, look, do you want to right-thinking people in the world, in the country, do you want four more years of this shit, people? Are you serious, people? Do you want to go further, a step further down this road, people? And I think there's a vast number of people in this country who can't wait to get rid of Trump. They just want to be rid of him in such a way that we will be rid of him and that he'll be gone, at least from power.
I have faith that we have people that will vote his ass out, but I'm not putting all my eggs in that basket, baby, because we did last time. I thought people were smarter to vote him in the first time.
So what's the consensus? Should Gerald Nadler come out swinging?
Well, I'm hoping that the Republican Party's going to crack with more news of this Mueller report coming out and more discussion in the media and whatnot. Do you think the Republican Party is
we've moved over to a discussion of Congress, let me throw something out based on a note that just came in from Jimmy in the Great Northwest. I know this conversation is necessary, but it is wrecking my brain how we the people are allowing the Senate to continue to do these treasonous acts. I'm with John. We the people should be hitting the streets. And I got no pushback on that. I've said for years that if you really want to change this evil shit, you need about 1 million people in D.C. who refuse to go home.
That's right.
Right there in front of Congress, baby.
This performance art, the integrity they proclaimed to have, the patriotism, all that shit. Viva la revolution.
I interrupt here for just a second.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
I hate to, but I have a live show to do tonight. I wanted to jump in here because my son was gone, and I was sitting here listening to you when you was talking about that weird-ass guy with the religion is going to predict that everybody's going to get assassinated, but we don't know how. They'll just disappear and all that kind of shit. Anyway, I was listening to that.
There goes your internet.
Wind's blowing. Uh-oh.
The wind's blowing, baby. Anyway, here I am.
Call Mr. Haney.
Call Mr. Haney. Get the tinfoil out, baby. It's going to be a rough show tonight. Eyes down in the next 45 minutes or so. Anyway, thank you that I heard you call out. You and Sparky were talking about our show and Travis, and I appreciate you. That's my life. Anyway, I'm going to have to leave a little early so I can go do my show if I can. And am I still there?
Yeah, you're here. You're here.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and, Mr. Haney's on a bender, but we can still.
Yeah, it's going to be hell. The last two times I tried to do my show live.
People make a noise.
Yeah. But anyway, I wanted to say thank you. For one, y'all were talking about us, you know, when I was listening in. I came in here, tried to push buttons on that mixer, but I never did find the right ones until Travis came home. But I want to thank you for calling us out and everything. But I enjoyed the discussion tonight.
Well, you're doing fantastic work, John.
We appreciate you too, Uncle John. We appreciate that too.
Y'all remember, this doesn't continue unless Bob pays the bills, baby. It's all about that. We need this voice now more than ever to encourage those to stand up for our country and stand in this. But it takes Bob money, so y'all just keep that shit going on, because it's a continuous cycle, and it is only funded by people out there listening and willing to be involved in this shit. And we all need to be involved, informed, and all that shit, baby. So I can't pump it enough, baby, that it is so important to support the Horn program and others like it to keep the voice of the common man going, baby, because we're the ones that's going to have to stir the pot. We're the ones that's going to have to push this thing.
Amen, John. Amen. And I hope the wind doesn't blow, brother.
I hope it don't any. But I'm going to go ahead and sign out.
There's somebody else. It's Megan's making noise.
Oh, I just hope I...
Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, ma'am. How you doing, Megan?
What's up, guys?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Hey, how are
you? Well, John, you take care and have yourself a good evening.
And Uncle John,
maybe we'll be able to chat on the front porch tomorrow evening.
Yes, I will be there, Bob. And by the way, aren't we?
I hope so.
We got to get some cooking doing, don't we?
Yeah, we do. I'm waiting for the weather to cooperate. I was all set last week, and then it looked like it was going to thunderstorm, so I didn't take the thing outside, and then it didn't storm, and then it's like.
Well, I have to buy a few ingredients yet. I have to go to the store and get some few ingredients and whatnot and plan that shit so me and Travis can film cooking it.
Well, if HEB doesn't have it, you don't need it.
That's right, baby. HEB's got it all. Here, everything's better.
Exactly.
Bob, family, Horn family, y'all take care. Rick, Steve, Sparky, appreciate it. Tracy, y'all take care. Have a great evening.
I'll see you in a bit, John.
We'll catch you soon, Uncle
John. See you, John B.
See you, John. So just to get back to what Jimmy was alluding to about, because it's kind of getting a little bit of a pass. Oh, by the way, James in Illinois says, general strike, you don't need to be in D.C. All roads lead to Main Street. Hit them in their pocketbooks. I agree, but you need it needs to become uncomfortable for the people who are refusing to do their jobs. And that happens in D.C., and I want to take a minute to note that there was an individual mentioned in the Mueller report that should be of grave concern, and that is Richard Burr of North Carolina, a member of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. You know, when you get on that committee, you're sworn to secrecy. You don't just get on that committee. People have to be fairly confident that you're going to be able to handle sensitive information. Well, what did we find out from the Mueller report? We found out that everything that went into the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, the SSCI, everything that Richard Burr laid his eyeballs on, he ran and told the White House. He was, in fact, a mole. He did the same thing that Devin Nunes did in the House. But it was more grave because the Senate, because for some reason or another, Trump was more terrified of what the Senate was going after. And so Richard Burr, Republican of North Carolina, just opened a channel, a secret back channel to the White House and fed them information. Now, I don't know if this has happened in the Senate yet, but somebody on the Democratic side needs to demand that Richard Burr be removed post-haste from the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. The only problem is any other Republican you put on there will probably do the same goddamn thing he did. But it was an act of abject betrayal of the principles of this country. He should be removed from that Senate committee position, and frankly, given his behavior, if we had a functioning Senate as opposed to a life support system for Donald goddamn Trump, he should be expelled from the Senate for that behavior. Any pushback?
No, I guess we got to. Scott, we got to get, and Tracy and Rick, we got to get on the Horn to Kamala Harris.
Yeah, she would be one to say it. If you're in Jersey, call Cory Booker.
Cory Booker's on the intelligence committee?
No, I'm talking about any of these Democrats who are running for president. They need to get out in front of this shit.
If I had it to do over again, I wouldn't have stayed up late to watch it, because what the fuck was I expecting? Bill Barr to waddle out, do his smoke screen for Trump, and then waddle back into where his hole, you know? What the hell was I expecting?
You and then stayed report, up late for something at 6:30 in the morning?
I stayed up late to watch that crap when I should, because in doing so, I overslept and missed the first hour of the of today's pro, horn program. Where are my values? Maybe, and as I think about it, and hear the people chiming in, maybe the best approach is an all hands on deck, use everything we can approach, and not just wait for 2020. Go for impeachment. Go for general strike. Go for stamping stuff on the money. Get you a little rubber stamp that says, you know, fuck Trump, and stamp all your dollar bills because they get around. You know, maybe it's like do every possible thing that we can in the hope that something will work. Maybe that's the way to go. Maybe
I don't work. How do I strike?
I don't know. If somebody, if there is a strike, go stand with them.
Yeah, that would show solidarity. Support.
Like what Obama said back early on. He said, if there's a strike, I'll put my comfortable shoes on and go and stand with the strikers.
All I ever knew is don't cross the picket line.
Well, that's a good one, too. And, in fact, Elizabeth Warren gave exactly that message a few days ago. Standing
and
with
I honored that belief a few times in my career.
You know what, though?
It
speaking
was fun.
Of Obama, speaking of Obama, I'm really, I got an insight today with all these latest developments that I had never, it never really hit me full force. Do you remember when he was elected? I'll never forget that night in 2008 when Obama was elected and we were all thinking hope and change, new hope and stuff. Looking back on it and what has transpired thus far with Trump, I wonder if he was, for a while at least, the last chance for any meaningful change in this country. Because the other side, by and large, saw it not as new hope or last chance. They saw it as last straw, you know, that dark one in our White House. And Trump is evidence of that. Really, I mean, that hit me full force today, that we're in an alien territory, friends. I don't think things, and I've been around a while, I don't think things have been quite as cattywampus and dire in this country as they are right now. That we're in a land of anything can happen.
Well, the disturbing part of it is this uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen next week or the week after. I mean, anything could happen. Look at the New Zealand shootings. You know, I mean, it's like there's a new shooting or there's a new a revelation and nobody does anything about it. You know, that's what causes this sort of like anxiety.
Anybody want to field that one?
Well, I think Tracy's right, though. We are in really scary times. We're in very dire times, you know, and there's nothing we can do to get out of it. Well, I mean, it's like I don't know what to say. I mean, I live in a blue state, but when I hear about the news from the South and back East, and there was a slew of crimes that were committed against, starting with the synagogue in Pittsburgh, but then there was two LGBT people who were murdered in Florida, you know, in a yoga center.
Oh, I got one for you. This is just in the last day or so. It was, let me make sure as of the date. It was around 8 o'clock yesterday evening when a maggot carrying gas cans was caught trying to get into St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City.
Oh, yeah, I read about
that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I saw that.
Tracy's right. These are terrifying times.
Yeah, they are.
You know, if you live in the South and you go to a historically black church, you can't be sure that your church is going to be there next Sunday, because the man in the White House has empowered the people who set fire to churches. You can't be comfortable with your kids in school.
After that Columbine thing?
And that Columbine thing was just damned well weird.
Yeah. Weird, yeah.
And she committed suicide, too.
You know, I think she was a pretty girl, too. Spring brings out, like, a lot of kooks and weirdos, I find, you know?
Well, but Rick, the kooks and weirdos are weaponized via the right wing, the ultra right wing, the toxic fascism that Trump cultivates.
What they call it? What stochastic terrorism?
He does is stochastic terrorism. It's like the tweet that he sent out toward Bernie and Biden the other day.
Right, rest in peace or something.
May
like
God rest their soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, that was retarded. But it's Marx talks about these people. He calls them the lumpen proletariat. They go along with the status quo. They're sort of like the Sturmabteilung of the Nazis, the SA. You know, they're there. They're the dummies. They're the muscle, and those people are the scary ones.
They're the cannon fodder in the culture wars, and all this loops back to what Darlene said a little bit ago. How do you change it? Because you see, if you're one of these dude, free love, peace, you know, you're never going to apply for a job in the FBI.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So the FBI is going to be, by definition, staffed by authoritarian people who will protect power at all cost.
Right.
And you know, I'm looking at a photo right now of Bill Barr to prosecution, and he's got his lips pursed. And his hands in a fist, like he's getting ready to either slug a reporter or pound on the podium. And there's Rod Rosenstein looking as serene as the Gandhi back behind him.
He's a good Nazi, I guess, Bob.
Well, Rosenstein was thinking, well, is there, did Barr bring enough whitewash, or do me or the bearded guy go out and buy?
Yeah, who's beard dude?
Yeah, he said who it was and what his position was, but he was like a cyborg or something.
He was at the confirmation hearings for Barr. He sat right behind Barr.
Oh, was he pulling strings or
Barr?
Was he throwing his voice and pulling strings, or what was his function?
No, he was one of Trump's WWE friends. I think he's a wrestler.
The best visual representation I've seen today is a political cartoon by Ed Wexler. It shows an oversized suit coat with a shot French cuff. You can see the little cuff link. And a little bitty orangish hand petting a giant green frog wearing glasses that's basically Bill Barr's face. And he's patting him on his little froggy green head. And the frog is declaring, rig it. Rig it. Rig it.
Yeah, there you go.
I saw a good cartoon in The New Yorker as well. It basically depicts this... I guess this courtier approaching a king sitting on a throne with like skulls all around him on the ground and human heads on pikes to the left and right of him and so forth. And the courtier says, "Great news, sire. They couldn't find any evidence of wrongdoing."
Yeah, I saw that.
Meanwhile, James in Illinois says, subject line, Rosenstein is defending his pension. Well, they took Andrew McCabe's away, so I'm game for maybe yanking his too.
Yeah, why not? What's good for the goose is good for the gander, huh?
Well, he's gonna go write a book. You know that. Well, he's gotta go as soon as he leaves. He's gonna write a book.
Now, I heard some people were talking about the upshot out of all this that Trump might go after, make some new enemies now that some names are being reported from this Mueller report. I don't know if there's any validity to that, but I think a lot of people are scared who once worked for Trump or are still working for Trump. But,
oh, yeah, for good reason. Look what he does to his enemies.
Exactly. No, exactly. He burns bridges right and left. He doesn't care. And it's like, no.
Everything Trump touches dies. Don't forget that.
Yeah, oh, I know. But you read about his dad at Coney Island and how he would depopulate a black neighborhood, or is it a big apartment complex? They rehabbed it, but they only leased apartments back to the white residents who once lived there. They shut the black people out. 1962. Yeah. Very interesting article. I saw it on Twitter and I went to the link.
It goes
on and on with this family. I mean, and nobody can do anything about it. I mean, it's just, I'm sick of it. You know, we're going to be so exhausted in two more years. And if the Democrats are defeated, it's like totally hopeless. It's going to be even worse.
Well, we'll have to learn to live under fascism, I suppose. Otto.
No, I don't want to live under fascism.
I don't either.
Europe, you know, I'll go back to France or Germany. You know,
I need y'all to sleep on this. What do we do? Do we go to the mat? Tell Nadler unleash the dog.
Well, just remember, if you're gonna use the go to the mattresses analogy from The Godfather. Yeah. Remember what happens to the Corleones when they go to the mattresses.
They get
their asses handed to them.
Horse heads and all that, yeah.
The umerta, you know, you take the oath. It's Trump. You got to take the oath with Trump.
But it would almost seem like the right thing to do, Bob. I mean, I'm really struggling with this, you know. Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing gets to me after what I went through a few months ago.
What happened?
What happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Curious. You got our curiosity.
I watched my stepson, who had been in a bad accident in 2008, deal with a VA trying to get surgery on his neck, turn to opioids and alcohol. Passed away on the last day of January.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I guess everything else pales in comparison.
Nothing terrible. Nothing fucks up my mind anymore. I'm dealing with a wife who can't get over it. So I'm just going day to day. I got a dog now. It's my dog forever until he dies.
Jesus, Sparky, I didn't realize that.
Sparky's the only one I've ever told.
Yeah, that's true. You told me that after the accident on March 15th, Sparky. Well,
that's the worst thing. Grief is the worst thing, especially somebody close. I mean, really close, like a brother. Mm-hmm. I went through my brother's death, and that was terrible. I never got over that. It took me 4 years to get over my brother's death.
Well, I'm over it. I mean, I watched him go. I mean, what else going to do? The VA screwed him around, and he's in so much pain.
Mm. He tried to self-medicate, is what he did.
His neck was all fucked up, and they had surgery on it twice.
Rick, when you're in pain, you'll sell your soul to the devil to get out of that pain.
Oh, no, I can believe that.
You will, man.
Oh, back when I there was a line that I used back when I was in the personal injury line of work, and it because it's so true. Pain is a picture window into hell.
Mm.
I got to see it every day for 2 months.
God almighty.
Wow.
I'm so sorry, Sparky.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, sorry, Sparky. That's very tough, especially for your wife, because that was that her only child?
Well.
Oh, it wasn't.
Yeah, the only child she knew. She gave away a child. I found out.
Yeah.
Years ago. And Brian told me, he found out first time that she gave a child up for adoption before she had him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know she's got to still be heartbroken, so please tell her she's in our hearts, okay?
Yeah, man, that's
It's tragic. Beyond words.
That's why I don't want the Royal Crown deal with anymore, Steve.
Okay. I understand. Your plate is full. Last thing you need to be doing is selling Crown Royal bags together, you know. I get it.
Wow.
Besides the wounded boy.
I got a burden off my chest. So thank you, guys.
Oh, anytime, Sparky. We're here. I mean, it's not a joke that this is a little, you know, this is a little family, a little community. And with that, well, we will. We'll pick things up tomorrow and figure out where we go from here. And I want to thank everybody for jumping in. Thank you, Otto and Tracy and Scott and Steve and Billable Rick and Sparky and John. Thanks, Megan. Like I said, it's kind of, there's a lot of head scratching to do here.
But, a lot of pieces to pick up.
Yeah. And let's see, I was trying to do some ciphering. Fundraising goal tomorrow to finish the week will be 648. And hopefully we'll knock some of that down. And thanks again to Yuki for keeping it from being 748. And thank you, Steve, for keeping it from being 758. Much obliged all the way around. Thanks
to
all of
you. Let's get it down to 420 by tomorrow, guys.
Hear, hear. Again, I'll be filling in for Malloy. He's under the weather this evening. I'll be filling in for Malloy on Progressive Voices on TuneIn at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Feel free to jump in. Love to have you in the conversation. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your time participating in this little ongoing conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thanks to Sparky over in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thanks, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.